Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. We've got the Brahma Bull, and we've got the world's most dangerous man, Shamrock and Rock, King of the Ring 1998. I was there. I remember this match being pretty good. I was always a big Shamrock mark, and I thought more could have been done with him. How the hell are you doing, Jeff?
I am excited too. I will still say Ken Shamrock is definitely on the list of wrestlers, sports entertainers, UFC fighters, whatever, that still scares the shit out of me. And so just a giant man. And so, you know, one of the few Ken Shamrock matches we've ever discussed. And so I'm excited to kind of get into that a little bit. And so got a little history on Ken Shamrock that we'll talk about during the match actually. But in the meantime, I'm excited to kind of cover this one because, like I said, we have not really covered a Ken Shamrock match before, and getting into King of the Ring, you know, maybe this is our kind of indirect plea to maybe bring it back. King and Queen, let's kind of do this. Maybe this is your Hell in the Cell replacement, like every other year, do a King of the Ring tournament, list the good stuff. And so, we'll see what happens, but either way, I'm excited to talk about this one. Like you said, you were there in, you know, fabulous Pittsburgh, PA. And so, I'm ready to get into this one if you are.
Yeah, let's jump right into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
You're right, Jeff. We were in Pittsburgh. We were at the Civic Arena, the Igloo, former home of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's now a parking lot. June 28th, 1998. The day that wrestling changed, man. And ironically, yeah, really the match we're going to cover was the final match before Hell in a Cell. Mm. It was really something. 17,000, jam-packed, big buy rate of 385,000. Really, really cool show. We've gone through it in detail before, but just as a reminder, we had a six-man tag of Headbangers and Taka defeating Kai and Tai earlier in the night. And I'm sure you're going to cover some of this, but Shamrock beat Jeff Jarrett in 5 minutes. The Rock beats Dan Severn in 4 minutes. I actually thought we were going to get Shamrock Severn, which they never really did. But that's what I thought they were building towards. The tag team of Brian Christopher and Scott Taylor, Too Much, defeated Al Snow and Head with Jerry Lawler's special guest referee. We had X-Pac defeating Owen Hart, New Age Outlaws defeating the Midnight Express. Then the King of the Ring final, which is the reason we're here, Shamrock and The Rock. And then the double main event of Taker, Mankind in the Hell in a Cell, and then Kane, Austin in the First Blood match. So, you know, maybe not the greatest undercard, but man, the final hour and a half of this show, whew, did a lot happen or what? I mean, it was wild, man.
Well, and to get watch this match, which, you know, it's your King of the Ring finals. So you figure, boy, like, you know, should it have main evented? Like, who knows? But then to get the Hell in a Cell match, which just, I say, it kind of looms over this one as we're talking through this match. And then to have to try and follow that up, which they actually did do a good job of following that up with the Kane and Stone Cold match. But still, like, boy, to have this match and then, you know, be there, like you said, at the time and not know what's about to come next. Like, it's gonna be hard to not talk about that, but we're going to give it a shot.
So walk us through how we got to these guys.
Yeah. So this one, I'll talk first, like the King of the Ring, like kind of who was in it and kind of what was going on. And so, taking place over the previous weeks to this, you had Vader and The Rock, Triple H and X-Pac, Owen Hart and Scorpio, D'Lo Brown and Dan Severn, Ken Shamrock, Kama Mustafa, Mark Henry, Terry Funk, Jeff Jarrett, Farouk, Mark Marrow, and Steve Blackman.
Wow.
So all great. Yeah. You know, a bunch of different good people in there. This was too, and I'll talk a little bit more about it during the match, but this was your post, you know, really UFC Ken Shamrock. And so him kind of coming over, you know, he was involved in UFC 93, 96, and, you know, kind of getting into it after this as well too. But he really, like, you know, like I said, this was a terrifying Ken Shamrock at the point. Like, he was, you know, world's most dangerous man. And so at this point in 1998, it was actually Shamrock was really feuding very heavily with the Nation of Domination, which a member of that being The Rock.
So Nation of Domination.
And then The Rock being the Intercontinental Champion or holding that title with the Nation. And so it was actually January of that year, the Royal Rumble, where you had The Rock's team, of course, of the Nation of Domination. It kind of a little bit of shenanigans here. You had D'Lo Brown stuck in the ropes. You had The Rock using brass knuckles to hit Shamrock. And so, and then, you know, kind of hiding it. And so it just kind of a little crazy there of, you know, the decision getting reversed by Kyoto, after Shamrock had the belt and then giving it back to The Rock because of the DQ. So just really kind of a little nutty at this point. And it's weird to think too, like these guys facing off in the finals of the King of the Ring, but they actually had a match. It was actually at WrestleMania 14. Shamrock beating The Rock, but then reversing the decision when Shamrock wouldn't release the ankle lock on The Rock after The Rock had submitted. And so because of DQ, The Rock ended up retaining that match as well too. So I say this is almost feels weird to me getting into this because you had these two guys as the finalists in King of the Ring, but they just had a match at WrestleMania. And so from a storyline perspective, it makes a ton of sense because these guys just kept feuding and kept going at it. It kind of weird to think about, like looking at, there was The Rock and then Dan Severn in the finals and Ken Shamrock and Jeff Jarrett, like you said. Kind of be interesting, like who knows, and the what if of like, what if it was, like you said, Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn, who just recently made an appearance with the Hardys actually. And so I was kind of reading that on one of the dirt sheets. And so, but also like, what if you had Jeff Jarrett and The Rock? Like who knows what could have come of something like that too. But I say tight little build because you had just, you know, the King of the Ring tournament. And so while these guys too, being the finalists, like it could have gone a lot of different ways. Like what if the Triple H had beaten The Rock or something like that, or Owen Hart and The Rock, like, man, that would have been crazy. And so getting to see that one as well too. So, but playing out, like it's almost a rematch of their WrestleMania match at this point, and, you know, trying to get an actual winner. And so we get Ken Shamrock and The Rock in the King of the Ring finals taking place before the fated Hell in a Cell match between Undertaker and Mankind. And then like you said, the First Blood with Austin and Kane. And so this is really the start of ramping that up. So I'm excited to get into this one and watch it though.
Me too. Hour 30 mark of King of the Ring 98, that's season 6 on Peacock. 1 hour, 30 minute mark, season 6, King of the Ring 98. Jeff, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
He's got to have fun. Shamrock just looks. This is the King of the Ring. Like a million bucks, dude. That's why I just shot. Again, I mean, Meltzer probably didn't like his work rate. He probably thought that, you know, because he couldn't do a moonsault, that he wasn't a good professional wrestler. But, dude, I just thought he looked so good. And I don't know. I think I mentioned this on a previous episode, but if I had to go back and book Shamrock, man, I would have booked him like Goldberg. And it didn't mean he had to like squash The Rock, but I would have just fed him to a bunch of jobbers and had him just freaking destroy people for about a year. And he wouldn't wrestle a 5-minute match until he was a year into the business. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, well, I was kind of looking over it. We didn't get into it because I said I'd get into it now. Like, he's been training since 1988. He had spent some time in, Atlantic Coast Wrestling, South Atlantic Pro Wrestling. He did some time in Universal Wrestling Federation. Like, he was kind of all over the place. It's been like, he spent some time in Japan before this as well, too. That was back in, 1990 to 93. He had made his debut, too, on WWE. Pretty much just a year before this. It was actually an episode of Raw, February 24th, 1997. And so, and that's when they started billing him as the world's most dangerous man. And so, yeah, in his initial kind of first feuds, a couple different things, Vader, Bret Hart, the Hart Foundation, like, and I remember those feuds pretty vividly, actually, like going into high school and watching those ones and stuff too. He feuded with Vader in Japan as well too. And so, yeah, I think whether we knew it at the time, which we, most of us didn't, like, man, Shamrock should have been just a Brock Lesnar of like the late 90s. Like, that's what he could have been. Like, just scare the shit out of you. Like you said, just come in and squash people like you wouldn't have even predicted.
And there's only one reason why he wasn't. You know what that was? They just didn't book him like it.
Yep.
I mean, there is nothing about Shamrock. I mean, you can say, oh, he's not great on promos. Oh, he didn't have the charisma of Goldberg. Dude, give me a break, okay? This guy, I mean, look, I'm looking at him right now. I've watched a few minutes of him in the ring. He was fine in the ring. He had the look. He may have not been as tall as Lesnar or Goldberg, but you could have put him with smaller guys and you could have just made him just lethal. They just didn't book him the right way. They brought him in and said, okay, you're going to work a 15-minute WWF match versus saying, hey, think about all the things you could have done. You could have brought him in squash matches and brought him in like Goldberg. You could have given him a Paul Heyman type mouthpiece, right? Could have made him a baby face, could have made him a heel. There's a lot of things you couldn't have done, but too often, especially in this era, and I think in some ways they've gotten a little better about this, but too often they said, okay, if you want to work here, you got to work 200 dates a year. You have to work 15-minute matches. You need to be able to cut promos and put him in a faction. Give him a mouthpiece. Have him destroy people. And that's how he should have spent a year. He shouldn't have been working with Vader. He should have been working with, Gilbert. I mean, he should have been just killing guys. And again, there's so much they could have done with him. The other thing that hurt him too, UFC was still so niche. Some of the younger listeners may forget, UFC wasn't shit back then, okay? And it really wasn't shit until more recently than we remember. I mean, the Ultimate Fighter and stuff like that, but that's all been in the last, 10, 15 years.
Yeah, UFC, it wasn't until like 94, 90, it was the mid-90s.
Still a tiny little niche. It wasn't on ESPN, okay? It was illegal in a lot of places. It was very small. Go look at the buy rates. So Ken Shamrock, even though he was a UFC legend, it meant nothing. And Vince McMahon thought there was no crossover. There's probably a little more crossover than he realized, but it was still a small audience. So, Lesnar coming out of UFC, going back into WWE, he was just a massive star. And nobody knew who Ken Shamrock was. I had maybe heard of him, but it's not like I knew who he was. So they should have just built him from scratch and just built him as a complete badass.
Well, was there anybody, just kind of thinking back, nobody was moving like him? Like, you even saw, these guys are kind of fighting outside at this point, but everything Shamrock does, and you kind of see it in Ronda now too. And even Shayna does a little bit too, just they move differently. This is, you and I talk about the PC or, performance center, and kind of, everybody coming out of there a lot of times very cookie cutter. That's what they want. They want everybody to have a certain look and be trained a certain way, which is fine. But I think you do lose some of, we've talked about, you lose some of this, like Shamrock stands out because he is doing it a little different. Like, yeah, he's doing wrestling moves, but at the same time, like he's doing things a lot differently. Just his stance, like how he looks in the ring, like it's just a lot different than what you were seeing at this point from The Undertaker, The Rock, Stone Cold. Like, and he, and I would never say this like in a demeaning way, but like he's a small guy.
Yeah.
Compared to all those names I just listed, like even The Rock is taller than him. Is he a small person? No, not by any means. But when it comes to his height, like he, like everybody else is bigger than him. So to have him come in, like you said, and start dominating some of these people, like I'm looking at it too. His mixed martial arts record was 28-17-2. Out of those 28 wins, 22 were by submission. And so you're going to tell me like you have this, you know, really like submission expert, and this is how we're using him. Like, you know, there were some better ways, but yeah, it's just crazy to me. Like, you know, could have booked him a little different, but also because he was different, he should have been booked differently.
No question. And that's what makes these guys unique, is that they've got unique characteristics. If everyone is 6'1", has long hair, and does slapping super kicks, it's not interesting. And that's, and I've said that's where AEW runs into some issues, is a lot of these guys all kind of look the same, work the same, you know, are the same. And I like a variety show, man. And that's what makes, I mean, it makes for some bad matchups. It's not all perfect, but then you get some really cool matchups. And, you know, a guy like Shamrock, that, yeah, he's probably 2-3 inches smaller than The Rock, but man, he just looks like such a badass. And I mean, I love the look. He's got those UFC gloves on. I would have probably made him even look more like a UFC fighter. And I don't know if it would have been different shorts or what, but I would have just completely leaned into him being a shoot fighter. And the ankle lock, man, it was such a great move. Mm-hmm. And remember, stuff like that didn't exist. People didn't tap out before Ken Shamrock. So again, why wouldn't you just make him tap people out for a year, get that over? And then when he finally ends up against The Rock or Triple H or whoever it might be, it's like, what the hell is going to happen here?
Mm-hmm. Hey, so he is billed at 6'1" and 212. Like, I don't know when that measurement was taken, you know, but like, it feels weird saying 6'1" is a little guy, and he's obviously 212 lean, but like, yeah. And so, and now you got an interesting component that didn't play too much into this, but the Degeneration X is on Mike as well too, China and Triple H. Yep. And so you got a lot of the fans too, kind of flipping off The Rock as he was the heel on this one too. So just kind of setting it up a little bit.
Like him or you don't.
Yeah, they're really on the Rock.
Well, and so in New Time, you talked about, you were at this show. Obviously, the Hell in a Cell is what everybody remembers. But do you remember any of the first part of this card? Like, do you remember?
I remember this match being really, really good.
Okay, got it.
I love this match. I thought this, I don't remember anything prior, but I love this match. I remember just thinking that it was fantastic. And again, I thought Shamrock, I mean, I thought he was like the next guy. I thought he was absolutely going to be a world champion. You know, another fun one to cover would be, which would have been later this year, was, I think later this year, Shawn Michaels, Ken Shamrock. It was the December in Your House, Degeneration X. Maybe we do that one in December.
I'm looking at here. Yep. You had,
to have been this year.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yep. Absolutely.
That'd be a fun one to do.
Yep. He had him teaming with the Big Boss Man and taking on the New Age Outlaws actually that December. Yep. And then you also had,
or was it December of 97, not 98.
Yeah. Maybe it had to be a year previous. Yeah. Cause that was it. You had him getting into the corporation at that point as well too. So you kind of had that going on as well. And so, yes. Challenge Triple H for the championship in the main event of December's Degeneration X in Your House. Yes. And so that's one too, I will make sure is on our list for December, but, yeah, at this point, point too, I'd say 98 was very kind of early in his career. Spent some time, really, he just wasn't in WWE for very long either. 97 to kind of 99. And then he left, he did some independent circuit stuff. He was in TNA for a while too.
A lot of stuff in TNA, right?
Yep, exactly. Yep. Had a lot of that. And so back and forth there quite a bit, actually just recently kind of back, you saw him in 2021 back there as well too. And so, yeah, kind of, dealing with all that. So yeah, just,
he is still jacked, dude. I met him at Starcast in Vegas. I mean, he is jacked still.
I'm not surprised. Yep.
Not the tallest guy. I'd say he ain't 6'1".
No, because we're about that. So yeah, he's got The Rock giving the DDT to Shamrock. Both guys laid out at this point in the center ring. Good action in this one, kind of nonstop. Yep.
I like that.
Yep.
Seeing some movement here at 8. They're gutting it out here. They're moving at 9.
Little double. I like that. Yep. I mean, this is a pretty damn good match, man.
Don't see that very often anymore either. The kind of 10 count in the ring for both guys kind of trying to get up.
I mean, am I like overselling this, or is this like an awesome match?
No, it really is.
I think this has been great.
No high flying either. Like, these guys are just, they're working tough. They're not stiff even. It doesn't look like, they're just kind of, throwing their moves at each other, and it's a good wrestling match.
So I got a question for you. I thought was kind of interesting. Oh, Perfect Plex by Shamrock.
Yep.
A question that came up on Corey Graves' podcast, maybe like 2 or 3 months ago now, he was talking to Eric Bischoff. And he said, hey, if there was going to be a new NWO, like, who would be in it or who should lead it? And wow. To me, I thought I had by far the best idea.
Go for it.
And then you can say, whoa, oh, 2 count. I thought he had him. Wow.
Kyoto's cutting it real close on some of these. Yeah.
I thought The Rock had him there. But if you were going to do a new NWO, to me, the guy who leads that, John Cena. I think it would be, I'm talking heel. Like, I'm talking straight up heel.
Oh, heel. John Cena.
Oh, yeah. I think it would be awesome.
Do you do it like outsider style, where you pick a tag team or some other people and then you kind of do the turn with Cena? Like, do you kind of replicate the same thing all over again?
Yeah. I mean, you don't do it to the point where it's too similar. But I think you can make it pretty similar. And, if you know, if you're younger, maybe, you don't remember or whatever, but like, why not?
Like, throw it back a little. Yeah. I think
if you could figure out a way to do it, and I don't know what it would be, you had a couple guys from AEW. I mean, it's not going to be the exact same where it's like, hey, who do these guys work for? But if you got some guys to come in, kind of what they tried to do with the Nexus a little bit, yep. But then you had Cena lead it.
Well, and to bring up,
I think it would be awesome
to bring up some NXT people to kind of get them over as well too. Like, I wouldn't want it to be like 20 man NWO like they had for a while there. Like, I want, keep it tight.
Yeah. Well, let me give you another scenario. Man, by the way, Kyoto's like 3 counts are ridiculous. Like, he's just like not hitting the map and his like arms down there. I got to think they like talked to him afterwards and said, hey, you got to like count slower. Oh.
There it is.
Place is going nuts. You see what I mean?
They are. Maybe you should say this 5 or 6 more times.
Damn it, Jeff. Do you see what I mean?
Yep.
Place is going nuts. The ankle lock was incredible. I mean, look at this guy.
King of the Ring winner. There you go. On their feet,
man, I'm going crazy. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
let me close the loop on my NWO thought. The other thing you could do, whether you involve Cena or not, that would be really good. Grab like 3 to 5 guys who are really pissed off about getting released. Mm. Imagine the lights go out and you had Wyatt, Strowman, couple other guys, Cesaro.
Pull some AEW. Yeah.
I just like grab guys that have been released over the last year and say, don't say a word, but you're going to come in and we're going to do this, you know, like takeover style.
Mm-hmm. It'd be
interesting.
You got to wonder. Yeah. Like just kind of, you know, and what do they do? Yeah. It's definitely be interesting. That's for sure.
All right. I love this one. Let's get to the aftermath.
Oh, it's time for the aftermath.
All right. What'd you think?
Better than expected, for sure. Like, and it should have been the coronation of Shamrock with the King of the Ring win, and not always the case, probably not in this case either, which we'll talk about a little bit, but still really good match. Like, you know, kind of both guys, I feel like the right guy won in this one. Absolutely. How about you?
Yeah, you're going to have to tell me what happened after this, because I can't get over the fact that they couldn't do anything with Shamrock.
Yeah.
I'm serious when I say this. This is one of the biggest booking blunders they have ever had. Mm-hmm. Make him a badass for a year, 3 to 5 minute squashes, couple badass suplexes, hit him with the ankle lock, get it over. And you could do it as a heel or you could do it as a baby face. That's what he should have been doing during this era. And then the guy would have been a made man. They totally blew it with him. And I'm sure that Bruce Pritchard to tell you, oh, his attitude wasn't great or this or that. Bullshit, man. It's bad booking. So all right, what happened after?
This one, again, like Shamrock really, it's kind of disappointing how it played out almost, that he actually started feuding with King Mabel after this one.
Oh.
And then rematch as well too, because it was a rematching with Jeff Jarrett because of their King of the Ring semifinals match. Kind of getting into that, you know, with King Mabel and Jarrett. So we're coming right out of this. I get kind of the King Mabel stuff, but that doesn't make it right.
Yeah. If you're going to squash Mabel because the King of the Ring thing, I can live with that.
Yeah. And so with that, then afterwards, you actually had Shamrock feuding with Owen Hart. Hart actually beating Shamrock. It was the Hart family dungeon match. It fully loaded. But then you had Shamrock beating Hart in the Lion's Den match at SummerSlam. And so, which the Owen match, one of his, I was looking at one of the highest rated matches for Ken Shamrock. And so that's one definitely we'll get on the list and kind of check that out. And so, and then he kind of, you know, spent a little bit of time, like turned heel. In late 1998, had the Intercontinental Championship beating X-Pac. It was a small tournament. And then joining the corporation after that as well too. And so then, like we said, there was the eventual New Age Outlaws, Boss Man, Ken Shamrock match, Shamrock being a dual champ at that point. So they did, I mean, he was tag champ. He was Intercontinental champ. He had it and eventually lost it to, or the tag belts to Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart at this point. It started, if you remember, dealing as well too with Billy Gunn, Goldust, Val Venus, a couple other people here. And so, and eventually a 4-way bout for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania 15. And so, you know, it just, I feel like, you know, and then, you know, started feuding with The Undertaker as well too, in like kind of mid 1999. And so it was just, I feel like you said, it was just missed opportunities on some of this. Like, you know, at a certain point they could have cranked him up to the next level and they never really did, like kind of kept him with the Intercontinental. And I remember him a lot with the Intercontinental, like keeping him with the tag belts, like never really putting him in that big picture to, you know, put the rocket on him, like we said, and go big. And so, you know, kind of unfortunate, kind of what if, we'll never know. But The Rock on this one, on the flip side though, like we said, Triple H and D-Generation X at ringside, side, like the Nation feuding with D-Generation X on this one. Again, there was the quarterfinals where Triple H and The Rock had a match. And so, but then they ended up having a 2 out of 3 falls kind of fully loaded in your house for the Intercontinental Championship, which The Rock retained on this one. They had a ladder match at SummerSlam where The Rock lost the title. So he was feuding with Triple H at this point. And then really at this point as well too, started really this, while The Rock was a big deal in 1998, you really did start to see the Rocket take off for him at this point, where, you know, starting to break up the Nation of Domination and The Rock being The Rock as we know, and the persona that everybody's familiar with today. And so, you know, a lot of what it's interesting because it was a very good match, but a lot of, I feel like we're leaving this one with a lot of what ifs too, of like, what could have happened with Shamrock? What could have happened, you know, with The Rock if they'd gone a different direction with these guys? Just who knows? But, well, you know, time will, you know, unfortunately, time told and not much, but that's okay. So, but yeah, a lot of what ifs. So, what do we got on the reviews on this one? Again, like you said, Ken Shamrock was actually in 1998 ranked higher on the PWI than The Rock. The Rock coming in at number 11. Ken Shamrock coming in at number 8. And so coming in higher this one, the PW Torch on this one said Ken Shamrock beat Rocky Maivia to win the King of the Ring tournament. The crowd being so into the near falls made the match, which otherwise was solid, albeit ordinary, only 3.25 stars. Of course, the best match, like this match to follow it, The Undertaker and Mankind, of course, winning that, but coming in a close second, or a very distant second rather, was Ken Shamrock and Rocky Maivia. And said Ken Shamrock, who was the logical choice to win King of the Ring, was given his biggest WWF win to date and had a very good final match with Rocky Maivia. Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Shamrock sold his leg as the match started picking up. They traded near falls back and forth with the ref counting the falls, doing a hell of a job in building the drama. There were a couple of near misses that were great. Maivia reversed a Hurricane Rana into a hot shot. However, seemingly out of nowhere, Shamrock tapped Maivia's leg, or trapped Maivia's leg, and used the ankle lock for the tap out submission, also 3.25 stars. So 2 3.25s, Tom, what are you thinking?
I watched a different match.
Okay. Yeah.
On that system, I don't know. Give me 4 stars. I don't know. I mean, I thought it was so good. Crowd was hot, you know, 15-minute banger, never let up. I thought Shamrock looked like $1 million. The Rock's the fucking Rock. You had Triple H involved, which was cool. Man, I loved it. And I'll just say it one more time. One of the biggest missed opportunities was Shamrock. He should have been headlining a WrestleMania. Could have been a babyface. Could have been a heel. Should have been a world champion. I mean, at the very least, you build this guy up as a heel and you get a 2 or 3 match run with him in Austin, or you give him a long Intercontinental title reign where nobody can touch him and he's just beating the shit out of people. Just blows my mind how bad they screwed that up. I loved it though. In terms of this match and, you know, our payoff score, give me a 7.5. Really solid stuff. I loved it. And I remember loving it when I was there live. Like, that was a great match. Crowd went nuts at the end. Big fan of it. What about you, Jeff?
I'm going to put it at a 7 because, like we say around here, like, it's just, you know, we look at all aspects of it. And if anything, I'm dinging it because I wanted more after. And so, you know, cause I think, like you said, we keep saying it, like Ken Shamrock should have been just the superstar, should have been the rock star coming out of this, no pun intended with The Rock. But, I think kind of doing that, you know, booking him the way they did after, it just, you know, it really fizzled, unfortunately. And so, but I think, so while the match, if I was given the match itself, like, yeah, probably closer to an 8, but like we said, we take all, like, it's our show, we take all the aspects of it from here. You know, they did a good job of building to it with the King of the Ring, but then just kind of sputtered out after that. And so unfortunate, but yeah, so I'm going to be at a 7. Wish I could give it higher, but that's what I'm going to stick to.
It's your show. You can give it whatever you want. Don't say you wish you could give it higher.
Hey, you know, that's right. That's what we're saying.
Clearly, it's a it's only one of us that has a love fest for Ken Shamrock. But that's I didn't realize how infatuated I was with Ken Shamrock.
Why would you?
I've got this guy. He should have been Goldberg. I mean, I love the guy.
You're putting him at a 10. Ken Shamrock gets a 10.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
So yeah. Yeah. Hey, this is like when we did the Big Boss Man for me. Like that's our dream right there, is the Ken Shamrock Big Boss Man, you know, tag team. Like that is just a wet dream for you and me.
All right. Here's what I want. I want two things. I want a surprise Royal Rumble appearance from Ken Shamrock this year. And I want a Hall of Fame.
It's time. Yep.
Give it to me.
There's no reason not to. Yep.
Be awesome.
Absolutely. I'd watch that.
And yep. He's the type of guy, you know, he'd be a good manager. I don't know. To me, you need managers.
Tom is right. Super high on the what if. Yep.
Yeah. You need guys like him that can be a manager, that can, you know, be in someone's corner, take a few bumps, maybe get in there and do a tag match.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got to ask you before we sign off. You would assume that Flair tried to get in with WWE, right? Like, hey, let me tag with Charlotte.
I would hope, yeah.
I'm sure he wanted it. I'm sure that was the original thing. Hey, let me do something with Charlotte at SummerSlam. And they said, no fucking chance.
Yeah. Yep.
That's my guess.
Hey, who knows, man? So, okay, good stuff. Let's send him home happy.
And speaking of which, we're doing another King of the Ring match next week.
Yes, we are.
You have any idea how excited I am for that?
It's a short match, but there's like one of the best.
It's incredible. It's the best match under 5 minutes in the history of professional wrestling.
And that's what we're getting into. So 1-2-3 Kid and Owen Hart next week.
All right. This was a fun episode. I'm pumped for next week. We'll see you next Monday on an all new episode of The Payoff.